Focus Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon, 720 WGN. This indeed is The Beat. I am Mark Carmen. Adam Hoge has Valentine's Day off to be with his lovely wife. But Jared Payton is a hardworking man today and is with me as well. JP, happy Valentine's Day to you, sir.
Happy Valentine's Day. And I've been married a little bit longer than Adam Hoge, but it's all good, man. My wife, 6 years in, she understands, I got to go to work today. But if I had to spend it with somebody and the Valentine, I guess it has to be you, Carm. So happy Valentine's Day.
That's what I'm talking about. Uptown, funky up. We are just going to be in love for the next 2+ hours until you leave me and go do television. I take the final hour by myself. Lou Kanellis, who lit up the Chicago Bulls, he'll be with us at 4:30, 5:30. We'll talk a little Blackhawks with Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. That's also the text line, 312-981-7200. And if you want to hit me up on Twitter, you can hit me up at @thecarm. You mention me, I mention you on the air. It's a win-win proposition. You grow, I grow. We do it all together. That's the plan in life. Jared, how do they find you on Twitter?
If you want to find me on Twitter, just tweet me at Payton Sun, PAYTONSUN. And then if you want to go SON, my son needs 5 more followers to hit 1,000. He's only 3.5. So come on, somebody out there, follow my son, man. His Twitter account is awesome.
That's a vision right there. I like how you are being a great dad, getting him off and rolling before he needs to even think about, you know, building that brand. You're already out there in front, you know, taking some bullets for him. That's beautiful. I appreciate that. All right, again, happy Valentine's Day. And Jarrett's going to break up with one of the coaches in town. I'll just leave it out there just like that. But you've got beef with someone, as many do, and we'll do that along the program. But we are going to start, Jared and everyone, with a huge story that's breaking over the weekend. And there was this is not brand new, but it's brand new in that we have court documents. And if people have missed it, Peyton Manning is being called out for how he acted when he was a college student at the University of Tennessee. And this is an explosive story, one that you can find all over the World Wide Web if you'd like to. I've also tweeted it out at the Carm as well, and also on my Facebook page too. But 13 years ago today, the paper, the USA Today, they had 74 pages of court documents, right, on Peyton Manning, on Archie Manning, on the University of Tennessee, also Florida Southern College, which we'll get to in a second. All these documents, they revealed allegations of a sexual assault scandal, a cover-up, a smear campaign, and really, it's there's one huge victim in this, and her name is Jamie Ann Nowright, I believe, N-A-U-G-H-R-I-G-H-T, Jamie Ann Nowright, who testified that when she was a trainer at Tennessee, she bent down to look at Peyton Manning's feet, and he pulled his pants down and sat his, let's put it, genitalia on her face. Now, what goes on from there is a lawsuit that she filed immediately, right? And Manning denied that it ever happened, and then he wrote a book, and he basically had a smear campaign on Jamie Ann, who is maybe, judging by all accounts, millions of athletes, millions is too strong, but tons of athletes who had been around her, that she was nothing but first class, nothing but a great trainer, and nothing but an incredible example and credit to the athletic department at both the University of Tennessee, which, and then at Florida Southern College, which she eventually, when she had to leave Tennessee because of the Mannings, she went to Florida Southern, and then she eventually had to leave there as well as part of a settlement. So, and has never talked about this. Let me bring Jared. Let me get you back in here and just get your original reaction to this as I trying to set up the story here, because I feel like some people have missed it. And listen, this had been out here to some level back in the day, but never as graphic as it is now. And here's a guy in Peyton Manning, right, who would be defined as squeaky clean, is a master pitchman, has $12 million worth of endorsements nationwide, and Papa John's, and, you know, a million others as well. And now you have to look at him in a completely different light, do you not?
I mean, this is, yeah, you look at the story, Carm, and it has been out there. I mean, if you're a sports fan and you've seen it, kind of, it's been around, hasn't really been as mainstream. But you look at even the time period when all this happened, there was, you know, I mean, the social media wasn't around. So a story that could have went viral and went crazy like it would nowadays didn't. But reading this, and over the last day or so, just going back and forth, it really makes you think that you really honestly don't know all your favorite athletes, maybe like you think you know them. And you know, stories like this, it really does. It brings to light of everything that's going on, but also, too, that, you know, everybody is not perfect. And then you have situations and, you know, I think you find yourself in a situation almost pretty similar to how it was. I still remember when I read this, it's kind of also like how when I was thinking about Tiger Woods back when all that stuff happened, because you look at both of them kind of the same, where they're like, man, squeaky clean. They have all the endorsements in the world. But it just goes to show that you really don't know, you know, all these athletes like you think you know them when you see them on TV or pitching some of your favorite endorsements like DirecTV, Papa John's, all that stuff. But meeting Peyton, and getting a chance to kind of know him, when he comes off as being that squeaky clean guy. But reading from all this, there's definitely some stuff in his past that I know he's not happy about right now.
It's also not just in his past. I mean, it's stuff that he aggressively, along with his dad, actively and deceitfully tried to bury. And he, you know, he basically went around and tried to convince everybody, and he has a book out where he basically says that Jamie Ann Nothright had a terrible potty mouth, and none of that is true. I mean, just refuted by anybody that was around the program. He made it out that she was having sex with African-American athletes, trying to paint this picture of, you know, a trainer in the athletic program who was extremely promiscuous, and none of that was true, all to protect his own brand. I mean, that's, to me, that's like 10 times worse than what Tiger did. And I think people can relate at least a little bit to Tiger. I mean, how many marriages end up in divorce and how many of those are the result of cheating, right? But here's a guy who is using his power as, you know, eventually he was going to be a number one draft pick and the whole deal. And he used his power to, A, ruin someone's career, B, humiliate, C, D, E, F, and G, right? I mean, it's Tiger, at the end of the day, I mean, yeah, he did damage to his wife and he did damage to his relationship, but he really, at the end of the day, just harmed himself, right? I mean, Peyton, he ruined someone's career, allegedly, I think I have to say, I guess I have to say, whatever, let's play it
allegedly,
safe.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, allegedly. I mean, allegedly, to me, it's, I mean, this is some, It's shocking. It's shocking. Maybe it shouldn't be, but it is to me. And if you want to jump in and weigh in on it, feel free. 312-981-7200. I mean, Jared, you know him at least a little bit, and you were just said it a second ago. It is stunning, and you don't know anybody, but this, like, from Peyton Manning, you would never expect that a story like this was coming out. And I guess I had missed it in the past, because there was like little hints of this, and this is USA had these 74 pages of court documents they didn't write about. That's 13 years ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're thinking about over the time and everything that's kind of, you know, in his career that we've watched over that 13 year span. I mean, it's just been to watch him and then come up with some type of, you know, vision of this guy and how you look at him, to now being able to see that all this stuff coming out now, it does, Carm. It's kind of, it's shocking to me, but even for her to not be able to, I mean, you talked about ruin her career. She wasn't able to get a job or anything. And I think at the settlement, if I'm not mistaken, Carm, what, she got like $300,000 from
yeah, that's
University
right.
of Tennessee.
Right.
So, I mean, wasn't able to, yeah, it's not that, not even the number there. It's the fact that she wasn't able to go back into her profession and what she did because of reading some of the stuff about her. A lot of people have great things to say about her and as a good person inside that training room and all that stuff. So it's kind of hurtful to kind of look back on this and for her to be like, man, ruin her life for real.
Yeah, we're going to get into the Jamie part about this coming back here. And 312-981-7200, your calls are welcome if you'd like to jump on in. And, you know, how does this change your opinion of Peyton? Is anybody on his side. I'm wondering, you know, another question. I mean, are his advertisers going to stick with him? We do have to take a quick time out. Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today at ChicagoTribune.com. We are starting the show today with the once squeaky clean Peyton Manning on 720 WGN.
There's definitely a lot of adrenaline after winning the game like that, and it's been such a unique season. And it's just been great to be a part of this journey with some great teammates. I'll just say I'm very much at peace right now, and I think however it works out, it'll work out the way it's supposed to.
That's pretty interesting. Prophetic, perhaps. How it will work out. Talking about Peyton Manning at 720 WGN. This is The Beat. Peyton Manning. Story that a lot of people are writing about it, but Sean King, an outstanding job. That's what I recommend you read if you're Googling it. You want to have, you're just hearing about the Peyton Manning story. Sean King of the New York Daily News. Peyton Manning's squeaky clean image was built on lies as detailed in explosive court documents showing ugly smear campaign against his alleged sex assault victim. I'm Mark Harmon. He is Jared Peyton. This is The Beat. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. One thing that I should mention is Manning. So Manning allegedly puts his genitalia on a trainer's head. She files suit. And then originally Manning denies the allegations, Jared, right? He says, no, that I never did that. He was then advised by the school, fine man by the name of Mike Rollo, who seems like a real piece of work. He said, no, go ahead and admit it. And he advised him to say he was actually mooning a nearby player. That's what he's, and he happened to move her face into his nude pelvic region. So Manning originally denied it. Then he went into the mooning narrative, and the player that he said he mooned was a guy by the name of Malcolm Saxon, who was a cross-country track athlete at Tennessee. So then Saxon denies that there was ever any mooning, and he writes Manning, quote, "Bro, you have tons of class, but you've shown no mercy or grace to this lady who was on her knees seeing if you had a stress fracture. She was minding her own business when your book came out." That's when Peyton smeared her in the book. "Peyton, the way I see it at this point, you're going to take a hit either way. If you settle out of court or if it goes to court, you might as well maintain some dignity and admit to what happened. Your celebrity doesn't mean you can treat folks that way. Do the right thing here." So there was a guy that, you know, he was the scapegoat. He was mooning Malcolm Saxon. No, actually he wasn't. And so it's just wow, right? I mean, wow. Come on. The old mooning excuse. You ever gone mooning excuse, Jared? I was actually mooning you.
I don't know. I plead the fifth. I'm not going to say anything. Yeah. But you start to hear those words. It's difficult because you start to really, you know, look into this, and it's tough. I mean, you talk about a celebrity and a guy who a lot of families, and I talk to parents all the time who, you know, with my football camp, of people who, you know, look up to this guy and, you know, hold him to a higher regard. And I know some people that I saw on Twitter, though, were saying, well, this was him, you know, when he was in college. College, you know, kids make mistakes. Carm, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, well, I was in college and I made mistakes. I didn't make mistakes like that. This is not a mistake. This is a whole lot deeper. And he did it years after the fact. 312-981-7200. He's Jared Peyton. I'm Mark Harmon. Does this change your opinion on Peyton? Are you not going to buy? Is anybody going to get rid of their DirecTV or not buy Nationwide, or at least not have Papa John's Pizza? We can at least do that in this city. Don in Libertyville on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Don.
Yes, look, I'm just commenting on a slice from an objective standpoint, in that I listened to about 10 to 15 minutes, but hadn't heard you attribute this to the King story. But I will say that I think it's questionable that it took you guys 10 or 15 minutes to use the word alleged. You guys have indicted him already today. I have no idea about the background of the story. I admitted that at the beginning of the call. But well, I think, Don, you guys, it's a responsibility of yours to use that word early and often, and I didn't hear that at least for the 10 or 15 minutes I've been listening.
Don, we said alleged in the first, before we went to break, we said alleged.
No, I don't know. I've been listening for about 10 or 15 minutes prior to the wait time for the call, but I didn't hear it. You said it. I thought very late, and if you did say it earlier, good enough. I don't think you're saying it often enough, though.
Okay, Don.
I said my piece.
Okay, Don. Would you have a good, more objective, hopefully objective
remainder of your show?
Don, read the article. Appreciate the call. It's not an article. There are facts of the case. There are 74 pages of court documents. There is a settlement out. There is a settlement that Peyton signed up with, and Jamie Ann did as well. This is not, we can say alleged all you want, and we said it, but this is not something that's out of thin air, and it's not something that you will not be hearing. I'll be very interested to see what Peyton Manning does, if anything. And by the way, I will say alleged, because there's nothing around that, but it makes me think a whole lot different about the alleged HGH that showed up at his house for his wife. Now, there would be a place where I would say alleged over and over again. I mean, that now, but don't you think, JP, that makes you look at that a little bit different?
Yeah, it does. But, I mean, the question was still with these, if you read everything, what are your opinions? Does it change? That's what I want to know from Don. Did it change? Regardless, we said alleged in the first, before we went to break, in the first time you came, you said it. And I just want to know if it changes people's minds after reading this about it.
And Don's call just really shows what people like Jamie Ann and Northright are up against, right? I mean, there's all this out there, and now here there's just going to be a mountain of people that are going to defend Peyton. And this is a whole lot different than a lot of other cases that we could point to where you really did not have the details. There are extensive details in the piece. Sean King, New York Daily News. Check it out. All right, we got to get into news in 2 minutes. 720 WGN. This is The Beat. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Jared Payton. Thanks for being along on a snowy Sunday afternoon. Jared, we're making some people angry today. I'm not going to lie to you. People are a little upset with the Peyton Manning talk.
Are they really?
Text line from the 630-312-981-7200. I am a female. I'm sorry, from the 847. I am a female. This happened way too long ago. This stuff drives me crazy. Does not change my mind. I think Manning is still great. Why wait this long to say or do something? I mean, I wasn't aware of the court documents, okay? And neither was Sean King, who wrote the piece. And there's a lot of people that are, you know, very much in the know who are learning about this for the first time. Now, there was rumors about it, but it wasn't anything to the level that you have a Jamie Ann Northright who hasn't worked in college athletics since 2003 because she had a settlement with Peyton Manning. And he's gone on to make millions and millions and millions of endorsement dollars and hasn't had any repercussions whatsoever. That's just not right. It is not right.
But you know what, Carm? It comes down to what we talked about earlier, and I said it. We really don't know, you know, whether, you know, you got the documents, right? And just because, what's his name, Don, who called in before, if I'm not mistaken?
Good old Don, yes.
Yeah. Well, allegedly, all this stuff, you know, and when you start looking at as a parent, and as these kids grow up and want to be like these guys, you look at it a little bit differently than you do just as a person who loves sports like myself. And, you know, my son's growing up and loves all these athletes, and he's only 3.5 years old. And it's you start to look at it just a little bit differently than you do just as a grown up by yourself and these kids nowadays and all this information. So, you know, as it puts a little question mark up there, you don't really know. And I'd like to see what happens down the line as some of this stuff starts to come out even more.
I want to take another angle on it, too, about the what happened last week in the Super Bowl in a second. Let's get a couple calls in here. 312-981-7200. Emily is downtown, now on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Emily. Emily.
Hi.
Turn down your radio, Emily.
I know. I'm just turning down my radio.
There you go, Emily. We love you. No problem. Go ahead, Emily. What do you got?
Hi, Mark and Jared. It's great to talk to you. I just wanted to say I read the Sean King article yesterday, and I'm an attorney, and I was a little bit annoyed by, I felt like it was all from the court documents. And just, and if you look at court documents, so many of them are really exaggerated. And, I mean, I don't know, because I haven't talked to Peyton Manning. I haven't talked to the woman involved. But I think we all have to take the Sean King article with a grain of salt if he's just coming out of it based on the court documents.
Well, hold on a second there. When you're saying it's not just the court documents here, you read the Sean King article. There was player after player after player who was quoted in there, Emily. Does that not, that doesn't have any impact on you?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really. I felt like a lot of what he was coming out of was just reading what was said in the court documents, and it just, I hesitate to take that for actual truth.
Why would he settle with her?
Well, people settle with people for a lot of reasons. I mean, you know, you don't want the bad press. You don't want it to get out.
So you don't believe it, basically, is what you're saying? Is that right?
I don't believe it just based on the court documents, no.
Well, yes. I want to nail this down, Emily. You think that Peyton Manning is innocent of doing nothing? Is that where we're at? Just want to make sure.
Well, based on the court documents, I would say I don't know. I would hesitate to say this woman is lying without more either. But I think Sean King's article is a bit exaggerated.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Emily. 312-981-7200. This is unbelievable to me, Jared, honestly.
I knew this was going to happen as soon as you brought it up. Hold up. I saw it come across my emails, and so I was like, okay, and then going through it, and then I started to think about it. I said, I can't wait to see the conversation, but I think this is what's great about this. I mean, we have an opportunity, we have a platform to talk about this, and it's something that I feel that's in the news that we should talk about.
Right. Well, here, under oath, okay. Wow, this is just unbelievable. I don't even know what part of the story to pick up. After, under oath, the ghostwriter, there's a guy by the name of John Underwood, revealed that Archie Manning, that's Peyton's dad, suggested to him that Nothray was going into the dorms and having sex with large numbers of black students. After saying that she was up in the dorms with black students, Archie states, and she'd been up in the dorm before. I mean, hey, you know, they could have, you know, could have pulled stuff on her too, and she toilet mouth. Peyton told me he never did like her, but always did. And then it goes, according to records, attorneys for Nothray drilled person after person, staff member after staff member, asking them to identify an instance where they heard Nowright use vulgar language. Not a single person could do so. One after another, those who claimed she was promiscuous admitted under oath, not just the documents, is under oath, they're testifying. They didn't have any evidence to support such claims. We're climbing uphill here. It's people love their heroes, man. I mean, my hero's Michael Jordan. If he walked down the street and hit me in the face, I probably would say he did it in self-defense. But this is another level. Like that's just, I guess I get it, but I'm kind of stunned here. But Jared, you understand it. Let's get Heidi in Lombard. 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Heidi.
Well, I'm with you. First of all, I think my chest is going to explode. But I don't understand what our infatuation is with these people and why everyone rushes to defend them. Where was everybody rushing to defend her? How is it possible he takes his penis out and we're all supposed to be like, well, you know, let's make sure we can't just trust the court documents. We can't. He agreed. He settled with her. No, there's still the jury's still out. How is the jury out? Why is he not a pig now?
Heidi, I love you and I appreciate you and I agree. And listen. Jamie, she settles in 2003. She gets $300,000, as you said earlier, right? The book that Peyton wrote, which absolutely trashed her, it sold today. He's making money on it still today. He's making money everywhere else. She has not worked in college athletics since. And this is a person who, testimonial after testimonial after testimonial, was a phenomenal employee. She was doing what she loved to do. Those jobs are hard to get. She basically could have punched her ticket in any gig in any athletic department. She has to leave the industry. Yet, now call after call, except for my favorite person now of the show, Heidi, we're climbing uphill. That's fine. It's 312-981-7200. Let me give you one other thing, Jared, because I had a reaction to this too, which I almost feel like I have to apologize for. But after the Super Bowl last weekend, right, Cam Newton goes to the press conference, and he is upset, immature perhaps, and he gets killed by the national media. Right,
you're opening up a whole can of worms right now.
I am, because this guy got cracked. Right now, Peyton. First of all, when he lost the Super Bowl, he didn't even go over and shake Drew Brees' hand back in 2010. Cam actually came over and gave Peyton the bear hug and the love and all that, but there was no talk about that whatsoever. Right?
There was no talk about that back in the day, which it's surprising that it just started to come out that he just made a beeline to the locker room and didn't even come over to congratulate the other quarterback, which, you know, Cam did that and then end up getting smashed. And I understand he was a little immature, but, you know, playing a game, and I played in some of the biggest games. I didn't play in the Super Bowl, but I played in national championship games. And when you lose those games, it's very, very tough. And we're not talking about everything else. You know, you got the winning team doing interviews right next to you, basically, where you can hear them enjoying themselves. It rubs people the wrong way. And should he have been slammed? I don't know. Did he handle himself the way that maybe everybody wanted him to? No, he didn't. But he didn't back down from it. Well, you got to respect that.
Right, but let's just throw it all out there, right? Peyton stepped up, and the first thing he said when he was interviewed was that he's going to go out and drink a ton of Budweiser, right? Good old American USA red, white, and blue Budweiser. Imagine if Cam had been up there and said, "I'm going to go have some Ciroc," or "I'm going to knock down a 40." How would that be viewed?
Hold up. I don't know though. This is the thing though. When being here in Chicago though, Carmen, I felt like I didn't listen to the national media, but I listened to local media, and Peyton got slammed by a lot of people, especially in our city.
On the Budweiser?
Over the airwaves. Yeah, on just the whole, you know, being self-promoting and all that stuff. So I don't know if he got away with that. I think he was looked at a little bit, and he did get a little bit slammed here in our city.
312-981-7200. Okay, fair enough. That was absurd. I'm going to go have some Budweiser. Easy there, Peyton. You don't have to. You just won the Super Bowl. We don't have to go full pitch man Bud move. Joanne Elmhurst, you're on 720 WGN. I don't want to be angry guy, but now I'm a little bit of an angry guy mode here. Go ahead, Joanne.
Hi. excuse me. I just kind of agree with Emily that called earlier that it is kind of late to be bringing that up. And you guys sound like little kids to me, you know, like big bullies.
Thank you. Thank you, Joanne.
Yeah, Joanne, we're not trying to be bullies.
The girl side of the story, like she said.
We're
you know, I you know, would like to hear both sides of the story.
We're trying to present both sides to you, Joanne.
Yeah, okay, you big bully.
Thanks, Joanne.
Okay.
Love you.
Love you, too.
All right.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
I actually got a bullying story from – I was bullied this week, JP. I'm gonna talk about that and have you –
Hey, my anti-bullying campaign just – we had our bowling strike against bullying event, so we raised some good money for being bullied. So I'll probably have to put some money on you now.
Well,
you know, Carm, you're a bully, man.
All 5'10", 172 pounds of me over here, just bullying people. You actually could, Jared. You got that football talent in you.
I'm still strong, man. I'll be honest with you. I'm still in good shape, bro.
So yes, I know this. I felt it, and I've been very afraid. Whenever you walk up on me, you say, "Let me crack your back, Carm." No, I'm good. I'm good, Jared. Appreciate you. 312-981-7200. A couple more calls on this, and then we'll move on to 4 o'clock hour. Lou Kanellis will be with us from Fox TV. Talk about that guy, Derrick Rose, and the Chicago Bulls disaster. Also, a tribute to Matt Forte coming up at the top of the hour. Jared's going to lead us through a little tribute to one of Chicago's finest, 720 WGN. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Jared Payton. Got a bunch of calls here on Peyton Manning. Let me just reset the story real quick for those of you just tuning in. 312-981-7200. A piece by Sean King in the New York Daily News. Where do you start on resetting it? Let's just start at the very top. 13 years ago, 74 pages, court documents. Peyton Manning put his genitalia on the head of a trainer at the University of Tennessee. and he settled out of court, and she was incredibly well-respected, but they did a smear campaign in his book to try to make it out that she was promiscuous. None of that was, and all this is alleged, I suppose. Allegedly.
Thank you.
Oh, there you
Thank
go. You. Okay. The Mannings did a smear campaign. She has not worked in college athletics since 2003, and it's just coming up now because people are writing about it. And it's really, let me make this one point. It's really incredible how much power the media has. Because when this story came out, as little at the time, and it was more local, and there wasn't Twitter, and there wasn't Facebook, basically, the media decided at that point in time that it didn't matter. And they did not attack Peyton, and he went on to become Peyton Manning, Mr. Squeaky Clean. Okay? The Al Jazeera report came out on Peyton Manning, right? That steroids were delivered to his house to his wife. The media basically decided, right? This report's from Al Jazeera. It's Peyton Manning. Doesn't add up. We basically decided that it did not, it can't be true. It's not true. We're not going to talk about it. And that's just ridiculous. And that's done, right? And then that's how everybody kind of takes it. It's the power of the, you see what I'm saying here, Chair? Like the power of the media. If people latched onto that story, if the media from like Stephen A. Smith or whoever you want to pick, somebody with a huge voice, and started hammering away on that, and it built momentum, the whole narrative changes. It's amazing to me. Like, this was just swept under and not looked at, and it didn't matter. This does not count. It is not important. Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. He's a phenomenal quarterback. He's going to be the number one overall draft pick. He's going to win a Super Bowl with the Indianapolis Colts, and who knows what else he's going to do, and people just go along. I'm not going along on this one. I'm sorry. I didn't know any about these documents. I did not know about all these athletes speaking out at Peyton and in favor of the girl, Dr. Jamie Ann Nothright, who got $300,000 to never work in her dream profession again. It's just not right. I'm sorry. And another part of it too, and I'll get off my soapbox. It just, when people are going, when it's about women, there is. It just seems like people just, it's almost like they don't like women to that level. I really, from both men and women not liking women. So I think that plays into it too.
Well, so, you know, we talked about the media and us being a part of it. We get a chance to be able to talk about it. So, I want to hear what other people have to say, and I know there's some more people that want to get on before we have to go. So
We got a ton. Maria in Chicago, you've been waiting the longest. You're on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Maria.
Hi. I don't know enough about all of the facts of this case to comment on the innocence or guilt of either of the parties.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something here on its face that does not make sense. If you are suing an athlete as well known as Peyton Manning, and even though this was a number of years back, he was still a very well known athlete. You have to know, or if you've got a lawyer who is worth his salt, you would think either the young woman or her lawyer would know that there were going to be repercussions, possible repercussions being what actually came to pass, and that being that she could not get a job in her field after this incident. Then why the heck, if you're dealing with deep pockets like Peyton Manning, do you settle for something like $300,000?
Maria,
if you're going to settle for big money, or take the guy to trial and go for broke. That makes no sense on its face.
I hear you, Maria. That's an interesting call, and we appreciate the call. 312-981-7200. Listen,
it was one of the first things that I thought of as well. I mean, when I was listening, also the video that's on the. On the article before the article, I mean, when I was here and I heard 300, I was like, okay, 300. And then they said 1,000. And I said, that's it. I mean, that was kind of shocking to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much she had on him, and listen, it's one incident, right? I mean, how much dough can she get? I don't know. I mean, that part of it, Maria makes a good point. Maybe she should have gotten a whole lot more dough. That doesn't make me, there's too much. You got to read the story, and there's multiple people writing about it, by the way. It's not just Sean King. But she should have gotten more dough. Alan's in Michigan on 720 WGN. Be quick, Alan.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing good, Alan.
So should we reopen all the allegations against Bill Clinton? Because a lot of that was just pushed under the rug by lots of the media that didn't want to pursue that.
Well, okay. All right, Alan. Appreciate it.
I mean, if you're taking, if you're going to defend this woman in this case, and we should investigate this, then why don't we go back to everything that Bill Clinton was accused of? He actually perjured himself. So, you know, where does this stop, though? That's the question.
Right.
I mean, who do we choose? Who do we choose? Who do you choose to defend and not defend? If you're going to defend this woman, and I agree with it, why not defend all those women? And there were many that had similar allegations, if not worse, against President Clinton. So where does it stop? Where do you draw the line? You're the moderator. Where do you draw the line?
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it. We're up against news. Where do I draw the line? Bill Clinton was, they were trying to impeach the president at the time. This has not even been talked about. And people are, everything that went on with Bill Clinton had huge implications. This has had no implications on Peyton Manning. All right, quick timeout. We'll get into news, 720 WGN.
Holy touchdown, baby!
Chicago Sports, spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Peyton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, this is indeed The Beat. Happy snowy Sunday afternoon to you. Happy Valentine's Day. My Valentine is Jared Peyton. And Mike Jacobson, too. What are you doing for the wifey and your sister and your mom and whoever else on Valentine's Day, Jared? What does a Jared Peyton do? You got flowers going every which way?
No, the wife doesn't like the flowers. You just make sure. We're pretty simple. You know, make sure that we both have some cards, and we present those in the morning. Nice little breakfast this morning for the wife and my son. And other than that, you know, we just it's Valentine's Day every single day in my household, man. Nothing but family love in the Peyton household. Oh. And the entire Peyton family.
That's thick. That is thick and good. So did you cook the breakfast? Did you cook it up today?
No, I didn't. Sorry. I made sure the orange juice was ready, though, you know.
Good job, Jared. That's strong.
Thank you.
312-981-7200. We are talking about Peyton Manning and the alleged incident long ago that has now come to light a little more prominently about Peyton exposing his genitalia, that's right, on a trainer at the University of Tennessee, and then basically writing a book and smearing her, and she had a settlement out of court. And if you're just joining the discussion, a lot of people are up in arms or questioning that how come she only got $300,000 on this, that seems off the beaten path, that she should have gotten a lot more money. 847's texting in on the dollar, said, did it ever occur to you that she filed suit to have it be on record and that maybe the money was of no importance? After taxes, she probably received enough to pay her lawyer. If she'd asked for more, people would be calling her a gold digger. Peyton gets a pass, and Tom Brady is put through the ringer because he likes his footballs a little softer, pathetic, and that is from Joan. Now, Joan, we love you, for one. And I'm assuming when she says, does it ever occur to you, she's not talking about me or you, Jared, because I don't understand exactly why she got what money she got, but I don't think that's the important point of focus here, right?
No, not at all.
That doesn't, just because she only quote got $300,000 for her alleged allegations, that doesn't mean to me that, oh, well, we could just throw it out. If it was real, she would have gotten $3 million or $30 million or whatever. That to me is a very small part of it. And, you know, there's a lot of texts coming in around, it's interesting comparing that Brady was crucified and Manning got a pass. And again, like to me, what we were talking about, Jared, is the media makes that decision. Brady got killed because the media basically decided it. And the media with the Manning story from long ago decided it wasn't a story. And they decided that the steroid with Al Jazeera wasn't a story. Right? I mean, it's kind of scary, the power of the media. It really is.
Well, I mean, that's where we're getting all of our information from. And so we kind of determine what's going to be in the forefront and what's not going to be. But I mean, the whole Tom Brady thing is still a little odd because he, other than Peyton Manning, he's the other face of the NFL. So you would think that, you know, I thought a lot of people who aren't, you know, Pats fans, you know, around the league, he's one of the most recognizable guys in the NFL as well. And so a lot of people were taken back a little bit that he was getting beat up so bad for everything that went on.
312-981-7200. I, to be honest, I didn't mind that Tom Brady was getting a lot of flack on the footballs. That seemed real shady to me. But that was more of a fun thing. This is actual, like, real life and serious of people losing jobs and living lives that they didn't plan on because someone of power took advantage of them. Marty in Darien on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Marty.
Hi, Mark. Hey, Jared. Hey, personally, I'm working on my doctorate in athletic management, and I have not, for the record, read this article. Question I have is, did this happen in college?
Yes.
Well, okay. Yes. Different situation you have here. I'm not going to talk about the allegation. It's there. When you have an allegation, the allegation becomes something more of a problem for not only him, but for the school. You know, there are legislative acts, you know, and if an allegation is made, it's somewhat seen as a failure because the school's preventative measures or the way they counsel their student-athletes didn't work. So at that particular point, they have to react. And your reaction is based on a couple of things. First, you've got legislation out there, like Title IX, Title VII, that is going to put not only him as the player and student-athlete in jeopardy, but you're looking at the force of the school who now has to react because of the consequences that may happen to the school. I'm going kind of deep with this, and I don't want to talk about the school itself because, you know, they're not at fault if there was a actual action. But if an allegation does happen, I can guarantee you it wasn't just his father who stood behind him. I feel bad for this individual, for this trainer, because I've seen guys who've been falsely accused and reputations ruined. But the force behind this is huge.
Yeah, and Marty, we appreciate the phone. I'm going to put you on hold because I'll just follow up on it. Listen, there's a story came out today at 12:30, you know, Central Time. Peyton Manning, this is new today, Peyton Manning among athletes cited in a lawsuit filed by a group of women alleging that the University of Tennessee has violated, as you said, Title IX regulations and created a hostile, quote, hostile sexual environment. The federal lawsuit, it was filed earlier this week, Tuesday, in Nashville, states that Tennessee policies made students more vulnerable to sexual assault and had a clearly unreasonable response after incidents that caused women making complaints to endure additional harassment. The suit also states the university interfered with the disciplinary process to favor male athletes. So you're hitting the nail on the head here. I mean, it's now it's moving forward. The lawsuit alleges in 96, Manning was the volunteer's quarterback. He placed his naked genitals on the face of a female athletic trainer while she was examining him for an injury. Okay, and then it moves on. There's lots of other stuff here from different athletes. Several sexual assault complaints made against Tennessee student athletes the past 4 years. The Tennessee names to players, football players, Manning, A.J. Johnson, Michael Williams. Those might not be household names, but this is in the last 4 years. The latter two were indicted on aggravated rape charges in February 2015. So, listen, it is going to – the University of Tennessee has a major problem on their hand right now, and as they allegedly or something should, apparently, right?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you start to really listen to – there's some issues that are going on in volunteer land, but that it's just – we're talking about this – It's bigger than just Peyton Manning. There's clearly a lot of issues that are going on at that university.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, there's breaking Blackhawk news on Marian Hossa. He was injured last night, so we're going to do that coming back. And we may throw in one or two more calls on Peyton. We have Lou Canellis from Fox Sports, Fox News, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Talk a little Bulls basketball. And from Albany Park to Alsip, Brittany, do you know her, Jared?
Yeah, that's my sister.
Yeah, that's your sister. Brittany and Elliot are trekking north to south, I should say, in search of Chicago's Best on Pulaski. You can tune in to Chicago's Best Sunday night at 10. That's tonight on WGN-TV. I don't know what you do Sunday nights at 10, Jared, but I'm there every Sunday night. And if I can't be there, it's on my DVR and I'm good. So you should know, please tell your sister that I'm a diehard Chicago's Best viewer and I basically make my dining choices because of her. Is that too much?
Hopefully you're watching... No, that's all good. I just hope you're watching Sports Feed as well on CLTV.
Well, we took. I mean, that's
6 to 7.
That's. I mean, come on. That doesn't even need to be said. Of course, I am. Kidding me? 312-981-7200. Some good promotion for the Peyton family right there. 720 WGN.
How hard is it to see a guy like Hossa go down like that and have to be helped off the ice?
Well, yeah, that's never a fun thing. I think the initial thought is always to worry
how serious it really is. As far as I know right now, not too sure, but I think we're hopeful. I guess we've done it before. We're going to have to find ways to play without one of our top guys again. I think we all know what he means to our team, offensively and defensively, all over the rink. So it's never easy, but we'll find a way.
Jonathan Toews, Blackhawks dropping an overtime contest to the Anaheim Ducks last night, and more importantly, Marian Hossa goes down, his ankle, his knee, the dreaded lower body injury, and the Blackhawks just announcing, as we said, there's breaking Blackhawks news, they've recalled center Vincent Hinostro. I know he's got a lot of talent, and the Blackhawks are high on him. He has been recalled from the Ice Hogs. Marian Hossa has been placed on injured reserve. And last night, Q was saying he doesn't expect it to be super serious, but he is going to be out for a while, so the Blackhawks are going to have to shift around their lines, JP, and maybe Teuvo Teravainen gets a bump up to the top two lines. Maybe not. I would think he'll get a shot at it, but he's hasn't been the most productive player for a while now. One goal in over 20 games, but maybe, and Q doesn't seem super happy with him, but they got an adjustment to make without Hossa, which is never fun.
Yeah, and that's the one thing about, you start to see what Marian Hossa means. I mean, you're not getting maybe the productivity that you got, in years past, but one thing that he's so good on both sides of the ice, so you can see him always moving fast still. What, how old is he? 37, if I'm not mistaken.
He's a very young, as you mentioned, 37. Jarrett, he was born January 12, 1979. That makes him 37 years old. Yes.
Okay. So you're looking now, him being out. I know Teuvo Teravainen hasn't had the season that I expected him to have, but maybe this is an opportunity now to put him on that top line, with Jonathan Toews, and hopefully maybe we can start seeing that kind of spark a little bit more fire underneath him and see if he can be a little bit more productive on that top line. But I definitely think Q is going to give him an opportunity and a chance to do that. And if he can show he can stay up there, then that would be good. But Q, he's always great at just dropping all the pieces on the floor and moving things around.
I don't know if the Blackhawks are tired. I mean, it's a super long season and they've played so many games over the last couple of years, and going for the back-to-back, you would expect there to be a lull at some point in the season. But, Q said last night that, hey, we got a point, but we really didn't deserve one. We were outplayed once again, and it's been a rough last three games at home. I never get worried about the Blackhawks. I always feel like when the money's on the line, they're going to step up and be there. But they're in one of their kind of downturns in the season, and at some point here, they're going to have to pick it up. And one thing about Q is he never takes that foot off the gas pedal, right? I mean, he's always pushing for more. You got to appreciate that. Something the Bulls could use, perhaps.
The one thing that I really love about Q, Carm, is he, not playing hockey at all, but being, playing sports, he's one of those coaches that you want to play for. And the guys know that they never want to let him down, so they always do the best that they can do and hold themselves to a higher standard and take accountability. And that's one of the things that he's always done since he's been here with the Blackhawks. And you got to love that from him. And I think they're going to be okay. First of all, I don't think the Blackhawks get talked about enough for the greatness that they have shown over the last couple years. It's crazy now. But they are always okay when it comes down to it at the end. So they're one of the teams that we don't worry about. The Bulls, on the other hand, I'm worried about your Bulls, man.
I am too, and Luke Anels is going to join us here after the 4:30 news. And speaking of those Black Ducks, the hometown voice is Skokie, the next top on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. It's presented by Allstate, and we are partnered with the Chicago Blackhawks, broadcasting live next Saturday, that is February the 20th, 3 till 7 p.m. from the Blackhawks store at Old Orchard Mall. I will be there, Adam Hogue will be there, Mike Jacobson will be there. Peyton Manning will not be there. Bring your family to celebrate the hockey weekend across America. The first 100 kids are invited for a free skate on the mall's ice rink presented by the Chicago Blackhawks to learn skating tips from the Blackhawks ice crew and the Blackhawks youth hockey team. Visit the store and enter for the chance to win prizes too. And visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for details. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. All right, we'll get you into the 4:30 news, and then Lou Kanellis fired on Derrick Rose in a way that I never really thought Lou Kanellis would, and it went viral. Chicago sportscaster went crazy on Derrick Rose for sitting out with general soreness. How's your general soreness, JP? You good?
I have it every single day.
Well, see, maybe, but you keep on playing through it, right? You'll be there at Sports Feed tonight? You're here right now?
I'll be there. I'm there now. I'm actually during breaks. I go and make sure I'm doing my TV show. I'm staying up on both ends, man. I got us.
I appreciate that effort. Derrick Rose needs to step it up coming out of the All-Star break. Lou Kanellis after the 4:30 news on 720 WGN.
Still got 30 more games to play. So when we come back, hopefully this break gives a little time to get away from it. Come back, got 30 games left. And we got to decide whether we want to play or not.
So, Derrick, do you guys feel collectively that if you get healthy that you can still make a run at this thing?
I think so. We have no other choice.
It's my guy, Derrick Rose. You do you, Derrick. 720 WGN. My name's Mark Carman. He is Jared Payton. About to bring in a guy who had a little bit of an issue with Derrick Rose this week. Lou Kanellis doing the outstanding work at Fox 32 News and had a meltdown earlier this week, and it went viral. Hi, Lou.
Happy Valentine's Day, boys.
Back at you, sir. JP, I want you to ask Lou the first question here because I feel like Lou, out of nowhere, it was like it was all building up and then it just all came out in one fell swoop.
Well, I don't know if it did. Listen, I know where Lou's coming from. It seems like that's where a lot of Chicago Bulls fans are coming from. But, I mean, Lou, you over your years, you've seen it. I mean, you've seen how things have changed in the world of sports when we look at guys. And I think as Chicagoans, sometimes we're a little bit it's unfair when you have guys like, you know, my dad, Michael Jordan, who basically played through everything, and now you have, you know, these athletes are a little bit different now. But when you heard the general soreness,
and what happened?
Well, you know, Jared, I was watching the game obviously, and here's what I was bothered with first: 45 minutes before tip off. Okay, if he wasn't feeling up to it, wasn't feeling well, was generally sore. I mean, I heard Fred Hoiberg said that he saw that earlier in the morning when they went through the shoot-around in Charlotte. So why wait till 45 minutes before game time? You touched on your dad. I had the great pleasure, great fortune of traveling with the Bulls, being with the Bulls during the Jordan run. And I saw what Michael Jordan, but not only what Michael Jordan put in every single day, when he was sick in Utah with the flu, or on a daily basis when the travel would get to them at the end of a long road trip, whether it be the West Coast trip or the Ice Capades trip or the circus trip in November. These guys would be exhausted. Ron Harper, who had gone through major knee reconstructive surgery, all right, and still would truck his ass out there for each and every game, because not for the fans as much as for their fellow teammates. So where I'm going with this is to drop it at 45 minutes before game time that I'm not playing, and then you watch the game, and it's obvious that his own teammates quit a tip. They give up 38 first-quarter points to a Charlotte team below 500. And you can see that his own teammates aren't into the game. Then I have a problem with it. And maybe because maybe I've been spoiled watching Walter Payton or Michael Jordan, or how about Joe Noah? Joakim Noah played half the season last year on a knee that was so bad he needed major knee surgery in the offseason. We were stunned when we found out about the major knee surgery because he kept playing through it. And now because of general soreness, and here, I'm the biggest, let me also say this, I'm the biggest Rose fan out there. And I thought he had hit a great stretch, where he had played terrific basketball, as good as I had seen in a few years over a five-game stretch. So all I did was I did this lose view, lose commentary, and I said, hey, you know, there was a time when Tom Thibodeau was head coach, and you'd see guys play through injury. You'd see guys at the end of the bench fight their ass off to get in there. They were scrappy. They did what it took to win games. They defended and they rebounded. I see none of that with this team. I see no passion. I see no emotion. They don't defend. 38 in that game against Charlotte in the first quarter, and then 38 in the third quarter on Wednesday night. Those are two of the worst defensive quarters in the NBA this season. So then I say, okay, something has to happen in this as we approach the trade deadline coming up at the end of this week. Something. I don't know if it's a trade. I don't know if someone's got to lose his job, but something has to happen. And it's got to start at the top with Pax and Gar.
Lou Canales, Fox 32 with us here at 720 WGN, talking a little Bulls. Go ahead, JP. I hear you. Go ahead.
No, Lou. No, listen, Lou, I get you. Listen, I totally understand. But let's be honest, though. Didn't we know that this was going to be kind of the rest of Derrick Rose's career, that we were going to have to deal with, you know, these nights in and nights off and not playing every single night, though?
Yes. The end of the road trip where the team is desperate for a win, 2-4 on a road trip with one game to go against a below 500 team, I think he should be out there. Even if he's not – listen, he'll never be 100%, JP, ever, not the rest of his career. So whether he's sore one day or – I mean, if the guy couldn't walk, obviously I don't want him out there on the court. But he could walk. And by giving him the day off, how much did that help him on Wednesday?
Oh, it was great in the first quarter. He was phenomenal, and then he got tired.
So I thought that game on Monday was a must-win game for this team, just to kind of right the ship, end the road trip on a positive note, come back to Chicago. Who knows? Now you're playing a better team in Atlanta. But if you win another game, then you're feeling really good about yourself going into the break. And obviously you got injuries to deal with, and Butler's still 3 weeks out, and Meritage 2 weeks out.
All right.
I just thought it was really important he'd be out there, Jared. Whether he was, and again, he'll never be 100%. I think mentally at some, because I can't tell you how many times I saw the champion Bulls, guys weren't healthy, guys were sore, guys were hurting, and they were still out there. Whether it was 23 or Pippen or Harper, they were out there because their other teammates just felt better. Jared, it's like having Big Brother with you. Even though you know Big Brother isn't going to kick someone's you-know-what because he's not up to it or he's not feeling well, just having him there is important to you.
Let me try to argue it this way, and I don't think we maybe we'll get to some agreement here. I don't know. Derrick Rose, Lou, before he actually tore his first ACL, he injured his toe, and then he started trying to play through it, and then injury after injury after injury happened, and he was rushed back on the court. He was on the court against Philly up 20 in the fourth quarter, and then he blows out his knee, right? So I think that experience had to have scarred him. And then you look at it like, I mean, you argued for Noah fighting through injuries, but like, look at what happened to him. And Jimmy clangs knees and he forces himself on the court. And then he goes down on a play where he normally wouldn't be injured because he was playing through fatigue. Like, if you're Rose and you've proven it's your body showed you time and time again that when you're off, you're in danger. I mean, I feel like we almost just have to trust the guy. Like, look, man, if he's feeling like he's not right and this Bulls team, by the way, is going nowhere, I think we all would agree, then why would you push through it? I know it takes the spirit away from the whole thing, but like that's just the way I look at it. Like at this point, well, just make sure you're healthy, and if you got to sit a game here and there, then so be it.
So what are we playing for then, Mark? Tell me what, in your opinion, is the end goal for this Bulls team, constructed as is?
Well, my answer to that is we're playing to be in the Eastern Conference Finals or wherever, to get to play the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, JP. I'm just saying that's what they're playing for. The goal is to at least get there, and being the
East. But realistically, now after watching this team through 52 games,
right?
I mean, what do you think this team is good enough to play for.
You know, and listen, I was, I talked about this on the show yesterday. Like, I've been defending him. I've been saying, listen, they're right there. Butler's been out. Rose is playing a whole lot better, which you alluded to at the, you know, at the start of the interview here. As long as Derek is actually going to get close to being Derek, I think they can compete. But then when I watched the Atlanta game and they completely gave up in the second half, I mean, you're talking about a laydown. That was embarrassing. So now I got to reevaluate the whole thing. I don't care if they're the 7th seed or the 6th seed. Don't be the 8th seed and have to play them in the first round. But like 7 seed, 6 seed, 3 seed, 4 seed, just it doesn't really matter to me. Just be healthy when the playoffs get there. You got to get in now, and the schedule is getting tougher, and that's in question. But like, I just don't think you can even, like, the regular season, this team's not built for it. They don't have the health and the age. You know, Powell's old too. I just don't think they're a regular season team. Get, against the best teams, though, they're right there. They've had some incredibly impressive wins. So just get in the playoffs. I mean, that's kind of how I looked at it.
Mark, you know what? Let's get off the Rose thing for a second, just for a second, because maybe we'll agree. We'll agree not to agree. I think that the issues with this team run far deeper. I think that we started to see really what this team was made of before Butler went down, before Meritich went through his appendectomy. I saw this, honestly, and I did a commentary the other night. I talked about, hey, Garrett Pax, you guys got to do something during the All-Star break just on Thursday night. I remember specifically, and you guys have covered Joakim Noah. This guy, one of the reasons why I love Noah is because he wears his heart on his sleeve and he can't BS the media. When he's depressed and down, you can see it. And I remember him talking to us after a practice once. And the pointed question was, how does this team look defensively? And he couldn't lie. He said, we got issues. And you could see right there, beginning of the season, that this team had lost its intensity, had lost its passion to play D under this head coach. So my problem with, forget about Rose, I think that the problems are far deeper in that, number one, you booted out Thibodeau for whatever reason, okay, and that's between Pax and Gar and Tibbs. I remember I was there and I saw Phil and Jerry battle on a daily basis. They couldn't stand each other, but they learned to live with each other until the very end when Phil decided to move on and Jerry didn't want him anymore. So I thought that it was a bad move. They move out Tibbs. They bring in Hoiberg with a completely different style, and they try to get Hoiberg's style pressed on players that don't play defense, okay? I don't think the makeup of this team fits what Hoiberg is trying to get these Bulls to play. So I think that the issues are even far deeper with the Bulls, and I would argue I'm not sure they're going to make the playoffs.
Listen, and I agree with everything you just said there, but at the end of the day then, what do you think is going to happen with, because we all know that Pax is safe in his job. Do you think Gar's here at the end of the season?
No, and I don't believe everything that Joe Colley writes in the Chicago Sun-Times, but I thought his article a week ago, 10 days ago, I don't think something like that just flies out of left field without any merit. I think that maybe Gar is out there, you know, putting feelers out saying, hey, listen, I'm not sure that this is the right thing for me, and is there another opportunity out there? Pax, I'm sure is going to stay. Gar, I'm not so sure. Hoiberg's definitely here because they gave him a 5-year deal, and the last thing Michael Reinsdorf is going to do is pay Tibbs and pay Hoiberg and then go out and hire another head coach. So I think that we're in line for some major changes. And, guys, there's nothing worse than being the 7th seed in the playoffs, being the 7th seed and having no shot. Mediocrity in the NBA sucks, right? Either you're top of the hill, either you have an opportunity to play, you feel good about a chance at playing for the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron and whoever is alongside, or start over. We committed to this head coach. If it means we got to make a deal, everyone's available. Everyone. Okay? And that includes Butler. Listen, I get that Butler signed a deal here, but remember, Butler signed a deal here because he was able to make more money as a Bull than anywhere else. Sometimes I think Jimmy wants to go Hollywood on everyone, and he'd rather be playing, you know, at the Staples Center with his buddy Mark Wahlberg watching. So I think that this team should go out and make a number of moves. Historically, they never do it in the middle of the season. Usually they wait till the end of the season. There's some great opportunities with free agents this summer. I think that we're going to see a real makeover with this franchise. Not now, but for sure by summertime.
Lou, before you go ahead, Jared.
Hold up. I got to ask him because you brought up Jimmy. So, Lou, when you look at it long term, you look at Jimmy signing that deal, looking at how this organization has treated other guys like Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah. If you were Jimmy Butler, would you be looking over your shoulder just to buy? You look at kind of how things have gone down with other guys that have been prominent stars. Would you be worried a little bit if you were Jimmy Butler?
I wouldn't be worried. Here, I think that Jerry Reinsdorf has treated other stars in this town as well as anyone. I mean, they paid Derrick Rose a heck of a lot of money. They took care of Joe. Joe's going to be a free agent. So I with the way this organization has handled its talent, I have no gripes. I think they've done a great job. Now, do I think if Hoiberg sits down with Pax and Pax says to Fred, hey, does Butler fit what you're trying to do the next 3 years? Because my future, Fred, rests on you. I pushed Tibbs out to hire you, and we got to turn it around. And if Hoiberg says no, and again, neither of us, none of the three of us, are behind closed doors to see what happens at practice or have heard these conversations. So we're all speculating here. If Hoiberg says no, I think they're out there shopping Butler as well. I think they're shopping everyone. I think if they could find a taker for Derek, they would take. I was one of the reasons I was really ecstatic that Rose was playing so well over that five-game stretch. I said, heck, maybe he doesn't fit with what they're trying to do here. And now at least there's some trade value with this guy.
I agree with that. With the salary cap expanding, I think Rose is going to be a movable piece, and maybe they'll do it. Hey, Lou, we're up against it, but you know you're the host of Bears Game Day Live and Game Night Live and the whole deal. I'm curious your thoughts real quickly on Matt Forte, right decision, wrong decision, and obviously a class guy no matter what.
Tough decision, Mark, incredibly tough decision. And Jared, you know better than I do, I'm not sure Langford's ready yet. But we don't know unless we get in 20, 25 carries a game. By splitting carries with Forte, you'll never know what you have in Langford. So I get it. I get the move. But Forte was just so underappreciated on the football field for everything he did. Forget about the 1,000 yards rushing. How about the 74 grabs out of the backfield? More importantly, the way he blocked and what a terrific teammate he was in the locker room. I'm really, really sad to see him go. And I'm incredibly worried that this team isn't ready at running back going in the next season.
Lou, great stuff. We're headed over to Reverie right after the show to discuss Rose to the 10th power and the rest of the potential Bulls moves going down the line.
This time over drinks.
Thanks, Lou. Appreciate you.
Good luck to you guys.
All right.
Have a good one.
Yeah, Lou Cadell is Fox 32. Check out his restaurant as well, Reverie. All right, quick timeout, JP. And I want your thoughts on Matt Forte before we have to go do TV. Same all question right. Coming at you coming back. Your right move, wrong move. 720 WGN.
I will remember you.
Mike Jacobs at Bringing the Noise right
will
now.
You
producer, program director to be, extraordinaire, tribute to Matt Forte. I don't know why I'm being sarcastic on one of the all-time great Bears. I feel this is wrong. 22, hashtag we will remember you. Jared, I know you're going to miss Matt, class act and all, but business is business is business. Did the Bears make the right move?
Yeah, I think you had to. You look at it and you start looking at just the numbers. And I knew that this was coming. It's a tough deal, and he's going to be missed. You look at just his statistics and what he's done here, 8 years in Chicago, unbelievable. And I always thought that after my dad got done playing that the running back position was cursed. And when Matt Forte came in from Tulane, just to see how he progressed as a football player and also as a man off the field, it's we're going to miss him. And I know that if my dad was around, he definitely would be proud at the football player and the man that he became. But to watch him be able to do everything, he was a complete football player. And you don't see those come around that often. And I think sometimes, like Lou said, he was I think we took for granted for what we had. And I kind of agree with Lou. I don't know if Jeremy Langford's going to be ready. Hopefully he is. But the one thing that we don't know, the question mark, is he going to be as durable as Matt Forte, because that's the one thing that you knew every single week was he was number 22 was going to be out on the field. And hopefully he gets a chance to be able to show what he can do, and hopefully he can be that guy that dots the I in the backfield.
Guys like that who want to be here and seem like he was willing to come back on a contract that was team friendly. Just surprises me that the Bears didn't at least play it out and see, you know, how great of a value they could have gotten in Matt Forte. But hey, listen, maybe he could end up in Green Bay just like Julius Peppers did. And I mean, they need a running back, and he wouldn't look to, I mean, I'm sure the Packers are looking like, hey, we'll take Matt Forte. He'd fit in real nicely and probably enjoy playing with Aaron Rodgers and wouldn't miss six Cuddy all that much. Sports Feed, what's coming up tonight, JP?
We have a lot of stuff. We're going to be talking about just who in Chicago sports do you want to break up with? Who are you kind of smitten with just a little bit? And then also, who is in the sports world here in Chicago do you just find yourself you can't get enough of? So we'll be talking about that. Ooh. Also, Kenny McReynolds and Sarah Spain will be on the show tonight. So looking forward to it.
Big time night on the Sports Feed. Yes, Mike Jacobson, tell me what you want to tell me. Not telling me anything. Got a very strong look and looked like you wanted to say something, as in loving you. JP, thank you for rolling the Peyton Manning train today. That was a lot of fun.
I appreciate it, man. As always, and hey, I'll send you my e-card on Valentine's Day. It'll be sent over in about a minute.
I appreciate that. I'll be looking for it. Have a great show tonight.
All right, guys.
There he goes. Jared Payton, Sports Feed tonight at 6 o'clock. Huge story. The big story coming up, I should say. Snow on the roads. The snow keeps coming down. Weather at the top of the hour in a matter of moments. 720 WGN.
Oh! Yes, he is. But I'll tell you, he's unbelievable. Okay, you put Jordan on your back. You had to do something special. He says, I want a 50. I don't want 49. Don't want 48. Give me 50, New York judges.
I was going to give this kid Bruin love. This is special right here.
Yeah, this is special.
This is special.
Go get it. Go get it, young
man. Look at his head.
Go
his head
it.
Almost
go.
Hit the rim.
Oh, my goodness.
His head hit the rim, Kenny.
NBA Slam Dunk Contest gets no love these days. Last night, if you watched it, Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon... And I actually didn't see it live because I was out at Northwestern and Illinois. Hashtag go Cats. Big win for Trey Demps, Chris Collins, Brian McIntosh, and company. Illinois kind of got a raw deal at the end of the game when they hit a shot that would have tied it up, but a foul was called just before the shot went up, and the Cats pulled off a two-point win. But the slam dunk contest last night, so many people want the NBA to get rid of it. I don't know if you saw it, but if you did, you definitely enjoyed it. And some of the highlights last night, there was the Orlando Magic. That's where Aaron Gordon comes from. He has, or they have, I should say, a mascot. His name is very key here because this mascot was out there on a hoverboard spinning around. The mascot's name is Stuff. I don't actually know who Stuff is, but you know, Gordon, in my mind, actually won the contest. You know, watching all the highlights of it, I thought Zach LaVine has crazy athletic skill, and he's one of his dunks. He basically jumped from the free throw line, put the ball between his legs, and dunked it. I mean, think about that, how things get moved forward, right? Dr. J, the first guy to ever dunk from the free throw line, and then many others, including Michael, did it. But nobody was going, yeah, I'm going to go through my legs in the air and throw it down as well. Pretty impressive. But Gordon had the mascot out there. He had him spinning around on a hoverboard, which, by the way, wasn't invented when Michael won the dunk contest back in 1988, nor were the Orlando Magic invented. They were invented in 1989. And last night, it just brought the dunk contest back. And there's nothing better, by the way, than watching NBA players and NBA fans and NBA four-year-olds lose their mind when athletes jump 13 feet in the air over mascots and other things and throw the ball down. I do think that the NBA can kind of mix around with their All-Star weekend. I'd put the three-point shooting contest last just because I think at the end of the day it's way more entertaining. But last night, they actually hit a home run with it. And one thing on tonight's All-Star game, which is coming at you, Kobe Bryant playing in his 18th All-Star game, 20 seasons in the league, retiring at the end of the year. I always kind of was in a Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant rivalry mode. That has subsided, and I just want to put it out there that I'm going to enjoy Kobe tonight. I'm going to miss Kobe. He was an unbelievable player, an unbelievable scorer, had incredible, incredible desire to be the best that he possibly could be, and I have tremendous respect for that guy. 312-981-7200. Anybody see the dunk contest last night and feel like the NBA restored one of its more entertaining events? And who do you think won? I actually think Gordon beat LaVine, but it did go to Zach for the second straight year. I've got the coach out in Deerfield, 312-981-7200. Coach, go ahead, my man.
You got me a little choked up with your Kobe Bryant stuff there. I don't know if I can continue on.
Kobe was the man, Coach. Good afternoon, Coach. How are you?
Very good. I was actually calling in for the Jared Payton pregame show. Did I get the right program?
Well, you can do that too, Coach. However you want to play it, my friend.
I did not watch the slam dunk contest yesterday, but I am a big fan. They're not the greatest players, but Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine, they are fun to watch.
Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine, drafted after Doug McDermott. I've made that point probably nauseatingly many times at this. The guy came out of UCLA, is a tremendous athlete and a very good shooter, but the Bulls liked Dougie McDermott. Coach, what else is on your mind, my friend?
If I went to Vegas right now, what odds would I get on Doug McDermott winning the 2017 NBA slam dunk contest?
Not good ones, but you very long odds. Be a risky play, but he actually has had some decent throwdowns, and you might get he could be a 3-point contest winner down the line, right?
Yes,
that's a possibility.
Yeah, he could challenge Klay Thompson for that. By the way, you were right. The Illinois Northwestern game, I was at that game rooting for Northwestern, but Illinois definitely got cheap shotted out. I don't know if you want to call it a bad break or what, but that foul call was brutal.
Too much. You never want officials to impact.
Yes.
A basketball game, and that reminds me of John Calipari getting kicked out in the Kentucky game yesterday, 146 seconds into the game.
What was his complaint?
146 seconds in, kicked out by Doug Sermons, who also had technical fouls for South Carolina's Michael Carrera, and he had another tee for yet another Kentucky player. His complaint, Calipari thought that one of the South Carolina players had climbed over a Kentucky guy on a rebound, and then he lost his, he walked to the scorer's table after being teed, and they teed him again, and then Calipari lost his mind, and he had to be restrained by 3 19-year-olds and then sent to the locker room.
His team, though, together, 3 times 19 is 57, so that's pretty good.
Right.
But you could tell his team dramatically missed his brilliant wisdom by winning by 25 points behind Tyler Ulis, the Illinois kid. Thank you very much, 27 points.
Yep, no doubt. Coach, you're the man. Appreciate you.
Garvin, tremendous job on the pregame, the Jared Payton pregame show. You're doing a heck of a job.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Coach. I didn't know that Jared Payton had a pregame show. Maybe we should be calling that before he goes to TV. The JP pregame show. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here at 720 WGN. I'm going to be talking with Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune at just after 5:30. Blackhawks going to be dealing with no Marian Hossa, which at least for a little while, as he has a lower body injury. How will they adjust their lines? We'll talk to Chris Hine, who's been doing a great job covering the Blackhawks for the Tribune right after the 5:30 news. Employed by Chicago Public Schools, reprimanded by the school board. Why one local principal is risking his job to speak out. That's Monday's cover story on the WGN-TV News at 9. Something is starting this week. We're going to talk about it coming back, 720 WGN.
Don't ever permit the pressure to exceed the pleasure.
Snow coming down. But pitchers and catchers are reporting this week. That was Joe Maddon reminding us all, don't ever let the pressure exceed the pleasure. It might be, it could be, it potentially is the year. I don't know. 108 years. You can never despite all the optimism around the Cubs and the over-under in Vegas, 89 wins, and all the Jason Haywards and John Lackeys and the success of last season and beating the Cardinals in the playoffs, you can never really go into a season feeling super confident, but it's exciting that it's back, so to speak. I mean, it's hard to kind of feel it right now with the snow falling down and the weather we're dealing with, and we'll have an update on what we can expect the rest of the evening coming up at 5:30. But pitchers and catchers are reporting this week, and I'm a little bit the main thing that concerns me about the Chicago Cubs, I start with two concerns. Number one, who's going to hit leadoff now that Dexter Fowler, who still hasn't signed anywhere else but doesn't look like he's coming back, who's going to hit leadoff? And my concern is, will Jake Arrieta, after pitching so many more innings last year and going deep into the playoffs, will his arm, will his shoulder, will his elbow, all that, bounce back, and will he be 100%? Because they're going to need him. He doesn't have to be perfect. He doesn't have to be Cy Young Arrieta, but they obviously need Jake Arrieta. That's one thing I'll be paying close attention to as spring training gets underway. Easy question for you, 312-981-7200. Expectations for the season. Is it World Series or bust right now for your Chicago Cubs? If they don't win the World Series this year, will it be a disappointment? Or, hey, they get back to the playoffs, that's cool. Just give me another entertaining ride along the way. If they're still young, and I'm not going to be freaking out if they somehow, some way, fall short this year, because they clearly have raised expectations a ton. As for the White Sox, busy offseason. You've got a new third baseman. You got a new second baseman. You've got Robin Ventura with the spotlight on him to put it all together. Chris Sale is still young, but not as young, right? Now getting sort of into that middle of his career where you got to wonder, A, is he going to stay healthy? And B, is his production going to be at the level that it once was? A lot of people, I mean, White Sox fans have been beaten over the head for so many years now that it's hard to have any optimism there. But they have, once again, reloaded. And I think the White Sox should be very competitive. In the AL Central, you do have the defending World Series champion Kansas City Royals, but you would think that the Royals would perhaps take a step back. Greg Holland, their closer, is no longer. Wade Davis stepping in there, throwing all the baseball names for you. And he's solid, but that you've subtracted one, and their pitching is not over the top. So, I expect the White Sox to be very competitive. But I'm excited for it to get going. And it's always cool just the start of the year when you get the sights and sounds from spring training and you see the warm sunshine and you realize that it's actually going to be summer again, at least at some point, and I always look at living in Chicago as it's like you get through winter and you can just put the fist up in the air and say, I did it. I won. It's like an accomplishment. You feel once spring forward comes through and we change the clocks of the whole deal, it's like one of the moments of the year where I feel like I have actually done something. I've done it again. I have chosen to live in this beautiful city and take the pain of the winter, and I have proven it again that I can handle it one more time. And granted, this winter has been actually very mild, but this is the week, spring training. Pitchers and catchers are reporting. We talked about it yesterday a little bit. Jackie Robinson, West, on your sort of under your baseball umbrella. Another lawsuit looking for money from Stephen A. Smith and ESPN and Little League itself. I didn't really want to touch on this, but I just sort of feel compelled to, because when it was going on at the time, I really, really, really loved the story. I mean, I was out, I went to the parade, I went to a bunch of the rallies, and it was one of the times where, you know, the city really felt like it was actually coming together. There was people from all parts of the city were all rooting for a group of youngsters to win the championship and kind of just shine a huge bright light of positivity on, you know, the South Side, which was incredibly cool. And I even when it came out that they had broken boundaries and whatever else, I didn't really, to be honest, I didn't have a huge problem with it, because if I was one of those coaches and I could give a kid an opportunity to see different opportunities, got to go to the White House, all that type of stuff, yeah, okay, fine, you bent the rules and it's not ideal, but overall I just kind of viewed it as a win. But now, where those kids are getting exposed to the incredible, dark, seedy side of litigation, and he said, she said, and you're at fault, and I mean, they've taken all the joy out of that run, and now it's kind of it's gone from a tremendously positive story to really a borderline just blight on the community. And I just hate that that's happened. I really do. And I don't necessarily blame, I suppose, that you're gonna file a lawsuit and go for, if you feel like you've been wronged, I suppose you're allowed to do that. But I'd just love to see the story die, really, at the end of the day. And with the news coming out this week that they're filing a lawsuit, that's not going to be the case. So it's going to continue to be in the news. But I'm going to try at least my best from my little corner of the world here to remember Jackie Robinson West as the great story it was before it wasn't. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We will get into the news at the bottom of the hour, a little update on the weather, and then I'm going to talk to Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune. Does a great job covering the Blackhawks. Marian Hossa to injured reserve. We'll update you on where the Hawks go without Hossa moving forward in the upcoming week. 720 WGN.
And it's too late, baby, now. It's too late. Though we really did try to make it.
Ah, the sweet sounds of Carole King. It only means one thing on the beat. My name is Mark Carmen. This is 720 WGN. When we play Carole King, we bring in the biggest Carole King fan, and maybe the only Carole King fan that is out there left. That's not true. Lots of people love Carole King. Christopher Hine from your Chicago Tribune with us now, who covers the Blackhawks and then listens to Carole after he does and on his couch and just relaxes. And
this is all very true. All very true what you're saying right now.
And that's a beautiful thing. It's you're in touch with both your masculine and your feminine side, and that's what makes you the best Chris Hine that you can possibly be. Ain't that correct, Chris?
Absolutely. And she's got millions of fans all over America. I'm going to go on a little tangent here, but Tapestry was one of the biggest selling albums of all time back in the 70s. So there are millions of Carole King fans out there. You know, they should do more to show themselves out in public, I think.
Hey, and that's good promotion, and she appreciates you coming. All right, let's move on, Chris, if I may, into the Blackhawks. And overtime loss last night, of course, to the Ducks. But the bigger story, Marian Hossa, the dreaded lower body injury. But it doesn't seem super serious, judging by, you know, if you listen to what Q says. I assume that you don't think he's going to be out, you know, super long. And I'm curious your thoughts is how do they move forward without Hossa in the interim?
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's going to be out for a super long period of time here. The Hawks did place him on injured reserve, which means he's out for at least a week. That kind of goes with what they were saying last night after the game. Quenneville said he didn't think Hossa would be out for weeks, but he expected him to miss some time. So maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, you know, if they want to be cautious to give him some time to come back. But the good news here for Hawks fans is that Hossa is going to be back sooner rather than later. As for moving forward without him, it's definitely a big loss for, you know, the temporary time he's out, considering this team has now lost 3 straight games and, you know, they really haven't looked good this week at home. You figure they have a homestand coming up. They've got 4 games at the United Center. They hadn't played at home in a while, but for some reason this week, they just don't seem to have the jump or the motivation, especially at the start of games that they need or that they had last month in January when they went on that 12-game win streak. Now, not having Hossa maybe provides a little more, you know, motivation, a little more energy for guys to step up their games a little bit since he's not going to be in the lineup. You know, we'll see what kind of effect this has over the next week or so.
You detailed painstakingly last night how much the Ducks outplayed the Hawks in your piece today. 44-23 shots on goal, total shots 74-38. This is all Anaheim, and then even strength that was 55-32. So you've got a Ducks team completely outplaying the Blackhawks, and you had Joel Quenneville talking afterwards how the Blackhawks didn't really deserve a point. And now you're talking about the energy level and the long season and the week, really, they've been outplayed all week long. I never worry about the Hawks, Chris. I never do. I feel like when the money's on the line, is there any reason in your mind, outside of just looking at it like, hey, it's a long season, it's just a little bit of a downturn, or are you seeing actual real concerns moving come playoff time?
No, I don't see anything to get overly concerned about. You know, this is it registers as kind of a mild blip on the radar, and the Hawks go through these kind of things seemingly every season. They have a couple games, whether it's January or February, where they have a little bit of a lull where they don't look good, you know, for a couple games in a row, and then all of a sudden, you know, they go on a win streak, and you know, everybody's thinking Stanley Cup again. This happens every year to them. I wouldn't get overly concerned. You saw what they were capable of during that 12-game win streak this year. They're capable of playing the best hockey in the NHL, to be quite honest, right now. It's not happening right now, but this is what happens during a long season. Patrick Kane kind of said it the other night. He's like, we've done this before. We'll work through it like we did before. And, you know, come playoff time, they'll be ready. Their biggest concern, they're not as concerned with winning the division or winning the conference and getting home ice as they are just getting in the playoffs. To them, making sure that they're in a comfortable position come late March and early April, where they don't have to overextend themselves, where they might be able to rest some guys for games in the last couple of weeks of the season. That's what matters to them in this time of year. And right now, with the January they've had, they put themselves in really good position playoff wise. They're you know, when you compare their record to the teams that are fighting for that last playoff spot, the Hawks are comfortably ahead right now. They've got a lot of room to spare. So they've kind of accomplished that goal of elevating themselves to a level where they're not going to have to fight the rest of the year to get in the playoffs. And I think that benefits them when the playoffs do roll around. You'll see a fresh team. You'll see a team that'll be ready come mid-April.
Chris Hines, Chicago Tribune with us here, 720 WGN. What are you seeing from Tavo? And do you think that he gets the first crack at playing perhaps on the second line?
I do. I think he gets the first crack at it, but I don't think it's going to be a necessarily long leash just based on what Quenneville said last night. You know, somebody asked him, you know, so does Tavo move up to that right wing? Because it seems like a natural fit. The guy's playing right wing right now. He played left wing on the line earlier in the year with Taves and Hossa. And Quenneville just said, basically, you know, the opportunity's there. He's just got to grab it. You know, so it seems like Quenneville might have been a little impatient with Tavo during that response.
Well, he's got one goal right in his last 25 games, and he's proven that he's not
along those lines, right?
And he's not comfortable, really. I think it's obvious as a left winger. So I don't think that's necessarily. I mean, maybe you just got to find the right spot for him, and playing with better players, I would think, would help him. But maybe there's more to it than maybe he's just not. I don't know. Maybe Q is starting to wonder if he's the great Tavo Teravainen that we expect him to be.
That being said, though, and I know people, especially after that Dallas game, he didn't have his best game on Thursday night against the Stars, and so it was kind of pile on Tavo Teravainen night after that game. But he has been a valuable piece to this team all year. The goal scoring may not be there, but he has done a lot of good. He's been on that third line with Andrew Desjardins and Philip Deneau, which has been one of the Hawks, you know, most reliable combinations defensively this year, especially in January when they made that run. That line was taking a lot of defensive zone faceoffs. It was drawing big assignments against other teams' top lines. So Tavo has been an important contributor. He plays on the power play. He plays on the penalty kill. He's kind of a jack of all trades. Like I said, the scoring, as you point out, it's not there, and that's a problem. That's something that they want to see corrected over the next couple of weeks here. But he has been a valuable piece to them, and I don't think you know, there's been a lot of fan speculation on Twitter that he could be a potential trade target, especially after the week he's, or a trade bait, especially after the week he's had. But I think that would be a mistake given what he, given his versatility to this team and given his contract situation for next year.
Yeah, people should remember, along with the money, I mean, the guy's 21 years old. You wouldn't give up a player like that. You certainly wouldn't do it for a rental. And I don't know if you could get fair value for him. So I wouldn't expect him to be traded either. Did you think the hit last night on Hossa from Hampus Lindholm was cheap, wrong, dirty, however you want to put it?
When I initially saw it, I thought it might have been a little over the line. That was my initial gut reaction. But after seeing it on replay, he's trying to make a play on the puck. I don't think there was any intent there to injure Marian Hossa. It's just an unfortunate happening. Joel Quenneville said last night he thought it was on the borderline, and I thought that was a pretty good description. It's like you can make the case either way, you know, and depending on your perspective. You know what color glasses you may be wearing when you're watching that play, you're probably going to interpret it a little differently. But I thought Quenneville's description of it being borderline, where you could say, yeah, it could be a bad hit, or no, you know, it's a clean play. I think that was a pretty good description. He's not going to face discipline from the NHL for it, and I think that's the right call.
So let me ask you before you go here, Chris, a little personal question. You're sitting there, and Joel Quenneville comes in for his press conference, and he's ticked off. Blackhawks have lost a game, and perhaps the officials are under his skin. And then he goes 14 yeah. seconds and storms on out. Now,
right?
Do you have, number one, do you have the relationship with Q where you can kind of follow him and tell him, Coach Q, it's all going to be okay? By the way, it's Chris Hanna. I love music too, and we can all relax and, you know, chill out. I mean, like people did a thing on nationally on Around the Horn comparing Q to Cam Newton. I mean, this, it was kind of a big deal.
It was kind of a big deal. And when I was sitting there, I was rolling, my phone was rolling video, because as part of our job, we have to take videos from time to time. So I'm sitting there and my phone is rolling, and he just walks out of the frame, and I'm watching. I was actually watching it on my phone, and I wasn't really watching it live. And all I see is just, he just walks out of the frame on my phone, and he walks off, and I was just kind of sitting there stunned. And honestly, my first reaction was, well, hey, I have something to write about now. that was my initial reaction. It was a fun thing to talk about, especially on the national media for 24 hours. But as you see, something like that, you know, it comes and it disappears by the time Thursday rolled around. You know, it wasn't that big of a deal. He didn't. I don't think he wanted to criticize the officials, you know, with a expletive laced rant or something like that. And I think that's why he walked off. I think that was a smart move by him. So, you know, and Joel Quenneville has to meet the media a lot during the course of the season. He has to meet the media after every practice. He talks with us before games. He talks with us after games. And he's always very accommodating. He answers everybody's questions. You know, he rarely, you know, just darts, if ever, just darts out of a press gathering. So, you know, one time, I'm willing to give him a pass on it like that.
And Q, by the way, will be on WGN tomorrow morning at 9:10. And he always, I mean, he's got a great rapport with Steve, and he's always making fun of himself when he has these moments, like when he's banging sticks against the boards. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he just laughs about it, which is just,
yeah, you have to see the humor, and everybody else can see the humor in it, and you know, you have to be able to see the humor in it, or else you're going to wear down during the course of an 82-game NHL season if you can't laugh at yourself a little bit.
That intensity, though, I think it helps as players. It keeps everybody on their toes, which you got to have it. Long, long season. That guy who's leading you, he's got to be there every single night, and Q is. I mean, it's impressive.
Exactly. That's what keeps them. That's what keeps this team on their toes throughout the season. Like I said, they go through these lulls, but his intensity and, you know, his willingness to sit you down on the bench if you're not producing, you know, or to cut your ice time, especially in the third period of a game, if you're not giving him what he wants. It keeps everybody on their toes, and the players respect him for it. You know, he sends the message mostly with his ice time. Yeah, he'll rant and he'll rave on the bench, and he'll tell guys he needs to do better. But the main way he goes about his business is by cutting people's ice time. And, you know, the players respect how he goes about his business of coaching the team. And when you have that respect there, you know, it leads to great things like they've had over the last six seasons.
Chris, great stuff as always. The Maple Leafs at the United Center tomorrow, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 puck drop right here on 720 WGN. Before you go, why does Canada all of a sudden suck at hockey? Edmonton, last in the Pacific, Calgary.
You can read all about it on ChicagoTribune.com. I'm going to throw that little plug out there. That's one of my stories for tomorrow, is why Canadian teams are horrible, as you say. And it just kind of seems like it's a combination of things where the teams are just in different situations right now. There's no common thread. Yes, the Canadian dollar is struggling, but the NHL is a league that has a salary cap, and a lot of those teams spend a decent amount of money. So I don't think the Canadian dollar is to blame, but, you know, the Canadians have guys that are hurt. You know, the Maple Leafs are in the midst of a rebuild. You know, some teams are coming back down to earth after playing well last year, and they maybe don't have or not getting the performances out of key guys that they thought they had. Vancouver's kind of at the end of their run. You know, they were really good, you know, a few years ago there. They made it to the finals, you know. So they're in a weird situation where they're in a transition mode as well. So it's just all kind of coming together where the seven Canadian teams right now are bad. And I think that's bad for the NHL, especially come playoff time when they might not have the television ratings in Canada that they were hoping for.
I didn't know you were writing about that. I feel in tremendous synergy with you right now, Chris Hine. That's a big moment.
Go check my Twitter feed. You'll see it.
I got you. Okay, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. We'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Christopher Hine, Big Carol King fan, and doing a great job covering the Blackhawks for the Tribune. So, yes, I am going to be spending time with the military coming up here for a week. Explain that coming back, 720 WGN. All right, well, I got a tweet here, or text, I should say. And God love you for listening to Patty Vasquez, the sports portion when I'm on. Carmen, Patty V says you guys are going to Camp Pendleton. Tell us what the deal is, please. Just curious. Well, I'm not exactly sure what the deal is, other than I know that I am going with Patty and a couple other WGN folk, and we are heading out to San Diego to be Marines for a week. And I've got an itinerary here that, quite frankly, I got to be honest, is a little bit terrifying. First of all, you get emails from Sergeant Trevion Paraka. Like, I'm just not used to getting that email. When I'm getting emails from a sergeant, I get a little nervous. And then I open up what's going on here, and it's at the end of the month, the last week. And it's an educator's workshop. But just listen to the first day and tell me this would not make you nervous, Mike Jacobson. First day, the pre-execution phase. First of all, we got the word execution. Second of all, 5:45 to 6 a.m., educators arrive. I don't know who these educators are, but I'm already intimidated. 6:15 to 6:20, accountability. Very afraid of accountability. Always have been, always will be. 6:15 to 6:20.
Well, let's just start right there, because those three options that you just, or the three parts of your itinerary, it's not looking good for you at this point.
I mean, it's
trouble. But you can continue, though.
It's trouble. We have a travel briefing. We have a loading of vehicles. We've got a check-in, a luggage security. We've got an 8:20 a.m. to 8:50 a.m. we're allowed to socialize.
That might be the one thing that you'll be incredibly successful at. Perhaps annoying, but something that you can accomplish.
Yes, but
accountability, that's going to be a real interesting one.
Right, and then you know, right when you're done socializing at 8:50, you're back into final accountability. 8:50 to 9:15, more accountability.
It's a tough transition.
A lot of accountability going on here. And then we get out to San Diego, and there is you know, there's an escort brief, there's a welcome dinner, there's a yellow footprints video, there's a chief of staff welcome. I mean, is the president, am I meeting President Obama?
Don't think so.
I don't think I am either, but if I was, I'd be very nervous and very excited. There's swimming demos. Have you ever seen the movie Officer and Gentleman?
I actually have not seen that one.
Well,
I know who's in it.
It's very
Richard Gere, right?
Yeah, and they put him in a sliding thing that dumps you upside down into a pool, and people were having trouble getting the mask off, or the whole thing.
See again, that's not going to end well for you either. I don't know about this trip here, Carm. Does Patty just want to go on her own, or who else is going?
It's Patty, it's Shanae, it's Jackie.
But Shanae, see, all of them are in very good shape. I wouldn't say you're out of shape. You're not in shape either.
The key is not going to be my fitness. My fitness will be fine. It's the whole physical nature of this. I mean, we've got a lot of things going on here. And a lot of accountability. I mean, it's all over. We got execution phase two. We've got, there's a lot of stuff going on all week long. And we're going to be doing shows from out in San Diego. And I'm going to be contributing with Patty as best I can.
When is this again?
This will be at the end of the month, February 29th to March 4th. So I will be unavailable to give you your normal back rub on Tuesday afternoon that week. I will be in San Diego.
He's going AWOL and going to be golfing the whole week.
It's Roger Badish, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going AWOL.
You are.
I am becoming a better Mark Harmon is what I'll be doing, Roger. Or I will just fail miserably and won't return. One of the two. All right, Roger, with the news coming up in just a matter of moments. And Brian Noonan will take the microphone at 6 o'clock, 720 WGN.